All right, welcome to Rose and Balls NBA betting. We talk about the Pistons. We got to talk about other teams. Come on, what are we doing here? Okay, and we are going to discuss. Again, we're discussing some of the teams that are not even going to make the play-in just to get some more excitement on it. And want to discuss the Charlotte Hornets a little bit. So, in analyzing the Hornets, I think they're almost waving off this Michael Jordan regime. This is an exciting time to be a Hornet fan, in my opinion. I do think franchises go through major changes. A lot of times with a change in ownership. And our GameStop bro is a new owner. Took the shares away from Jordan due to that whole fiasco. And now they got new management in place. Mitch Kupchak is a side. We got Jeff Peterson, baby. And I think, let's see what kind of reign he has. But you know, Kupchak moving over to a quote-unquote advisor role is, you know, the end of the Kupchak era in Charlotte, right? And the prior Charlotte regime, let's talk about before and after so we could discuss this difference. The prior Charlotte regime was honestly just trying to get in, trying to get into the playoffs and fighting for this, like, 6 to 10 range. Let's hope for the best. That was the Clifford hire. He makes it competitive. And it was just the decisions they make, right? They were hanging on to Terry Rozier and Hayward for a while, even signing Rozier in the first place. They were flirting with rumors that are like, why are you in that rumor? Like Zion Williamson for the pick and something, Jordan Poole rumors. So even broaching that was something that, like, you would, you know, shun a little bit, because like, why is my franchise in these discussions when we should be rebuilding? And I think the truth is, as a franchise, your goal, I think the goalposts have changed a little bit. I think rings cultures is slowly dying. What's existing now is consistent winning, right? And I think, like, if you have two case studies and you look at, like, the 08 Celtics, I bring up the 08 Celtics. So the 08 Celtics were not this, like, slowly evolving team that eventually contended and broke through. No, the Celtics at the time, you know, if you look back, after Ainge took over and they had a rebuild, they were bad for a while. Okay, they were bad from, I want to say, 04. I think they lost in the playoffs. You know, they were kind of, but they were pretty bad. Bad meaning like they didn't get past the first round. All right, maybe I think one of the years, you know, Paul Pierce went nuts and against Indiana and they made it, but they were a bottom five or under seed. Between, I want to say, 04, 05-ish, you know, for 4 years in a row, right? And I think what Ainge ended up doing in that draft was, okay, they had Al Jefferson. They had this rebuild kind of cooking with Al Jefferson there. They weren't really sure to do with Pierce. They kind of bottomed out when Pierce was out for the year, and Tony Allen got hurt as well that year, who looked very promising. And instead of, you know, continuing the rebuild and maybe moving off Pierce, they had a kind of a fork-in-the-road moment. Right, they tried to move Pierce, I think, in the Chris Paul draft. It was like 06, right? They tried to move for him. That didn't happen, so they just kept him. And, you know, they were keeping Pierce. And eventually, Ainge went the other way and was like, well, look, Minnesota wants to rebuild. And we have two great assets. We have this Al Jefferson asset, and we have a fifth pick asset. And he flipped both for win-now talent, Ray Allen, KG. We know the rest, okay? Look, they won a ring, and there's great branding post that. They have all these podcasts for it. But, like, it's not a title that goes down in, like, Celtics lore to an extent. Because it's not like a, you know, you're not going to do a documentary maybe on that blip of a season, but, like, there was no, like, accumulation to that point. Like, you saw in the Pistons of the 80s and even the Lakers of the early 2000s that kind of went through the Spurs, went through the Jazz, and then finally broke through, right? There wasn't this, like, finally breakthrough. The Bulls had a final breakthrough. Most teams that win have a final breakthrough, okay? And this element of like, oh, we're quickly good, and then quickly bad again, by the way, because like after like a 3-year little run with that, and there were some injuries, obviously, which is why they have multiple titles, the Celtics died back. I do believe, I do believe it is better to be like the 90s Jazz, the 90s Pacers. Okay, what I mean by that is, and the Pacers, and both teams didn't win, but they were always in the hunt. Okay, I think the Jazz might have had an upset here or there, but like for the most part, that was a second round or better team. They made second round conference finals runs and eventually cracked through and made the finals. Okay. The same thing happened with Indiana. Indiana had a long run of making the first round. They made the second round and then eventually get to the conference finals. Right. And they you know, obviously both teams, both franchises, just like with anybody in the 90s, had a pummel through Jordan and the Bulls. And that was what was unsuccessful. But as a franchise, in terms of generating positive revenue, consistent interest in the team, that is better, i.e. being the 90s Jazz and the 90s Pacers. That being, let's say, the mid-2000s Celtics, which was like, bad, bad, bad. Oh, all of a sudden we're good. And then we're bad again, right? Because like you don't have a feel for the players and so on and so forth. I bring that up because the Hornets were like pushing for, you know, they were pushing for contention before. They were pushing for barely a play-in. You know, Sacramento Kings were kind of doing something similar under Vlade. And I think it's just better to build a long sustaining success. And I think that's where the Hornets are right now. The Hornets have to figure like, okay, we're obviously going through a rebuild. We have Brandon Miller. We have, I don't know what we're doing, Miles Bridges. And we have this future star, current star, really, LaMelo Ball, okay? So I think what they need to figure out is, A, we need to rebuild. They know that, but they're losing their opportunity of how to rebuild. What do I mean? Most teams, when they rebuild, need to kind of get that full war chest, build through the draft, especially for Charlotte. You're not going to build through free agency. It's not a diss to Charlotte, but you're not good, and you're not in a big market. Like, why is some company? So you need to rebuild through the draft. So now let's peel the onion. If you're going to rebuild through the draft, you know, where do the assets lie and all that? So if you look at the current roster, it's a pretty barren roster. It's Brandon Miller and friends, okay? They already, you know, I keep saying this with teams pulling the white flag. They already kind of put their white flag, if you will, by moving PG Washington. I think, you know, they got future picks. That's the right move. Getting future assets, great. That obviously tells me, okay, we're ready to do an aggressive rebuild. Here's where it gets fun. PG Washington's nice to move. Great. Miles Bridges, you know, the market right now is a big fat question mark. I don't know if teams want to take on that PR. I don't know if Charlotte's going to want to re-sign him. So I don't know what the heck they do with that. Maybe they do a sign or trade. I'm not sure. You also want to get some value for Bridges, but like I don't know how you do that, given everything. So obviously I'm alluding to a big point. I'm kind of, you know, bringing the I'm kind of greasing it for this big reveal. The big reveal is it time to trade LaMelo Ball? All right, look, I know. Gasp, all that. Hornets are going to get a top three pick. They're probably not going to use the pick on a point guard, okay? The top three players coming out, I would say, is Ricochet, Cody Williams, maybe you got Alex Sarr. You got Reed Sheppard, maybe. Not really like a high-ceiling guy you build around. So I don't see, like, necessarily a future point guard in the draft, but that doesn't matter necessarily, right? So let's talk through it. Why would you move Ball? There's a couple of things to dissect here. One is, yes, by keeping Ball, and if you're healthy, you're going to constantly be like a mid-30 win team. Ball is that good. He gets into the mid-30s. You're not going to evolve more than that. The second thing about Ball that just is what it is he is not so available. He's been hurt the last 2 years. And he's the type of player you have to kind of revolve your whole offense around. He's a non-shooting point guard. He could shoot a little bit, but he's exciting and all that, and I get the PR angle there. Like, he's a great face of the franchise. Players want to, you know, fans want to come and see him. But, look, it's quite difficult when you have to revolve the whole offense around him, and then he's not so available, right? It's one thing if the guy was Luka, but it's another thing if he's a diet Luka and only plays 40 games. So to me, that's sort of the play for Ball. Now, if you're Charlotte, which route do you go in a potential Ball move? Okay, you could say one route is, do we get sort of like a different style and kind of go from there, right? And for me, one angle you could look at is the Atlanta scenario. They have Young, who might be available, DeJounte Murray, who might be available. Do we just kind of rejigger our roster a little bit? But I think Charlotte has already made their claim, and they're going to go a heavy rebuild, and they're going to go, I don't want to use the words heavy take, but you know, I think you need to, I think you need to consider moving him just to kind of replenish your war chest and rebuild the right way, right? Like, so let's talk through that a little bit. So first, if I'm Charlotte and I'm considering moving Ball, I have to now target the teams that have the best elements to package in a potential Ball deal, all right? Now, these teams might like their current rebuild as it's happening, so you might not get a ton of interest, which is, you know, totally fair. So of the teams that could be interested in Ball, who am I targeting, right? So first, I actually like Houston a lot, right? Now, Houston, again, they, I think, accomplished what they wanted to this year. They have Fred VanVleet, who's a nice stopgap option. But one of the reasons I target Houston is they have too much youth for them. They just have a lot of guys who can consolidate, who might be better in a bigger, with higher usage and more minutes on a team like Charlotte, right? So Houston and me has a boatload of guys that I would target. You got, obviously, Amon Thompson, who's starting to come on a little bit towards the end of the year due to some injuries with Sengun, playing a little bit more. Cam Whitmore, obviously, I like a lot. And I think, like, again, he's a backup wing, so it seems quite movable for them. They already put, you know, decent contract for Dylan Brooks. So he's a guy they wouldn't miss too much. The problem with Houston is, obviously, they have Fred VanVleet under contract. But I can make an argument Houston now would have an opportunity to, you know, get a future point guard who might, you know, be better for Green. You got Sengun healthy next year. I mean, that's a pretty sick future lineup if you put Ball at the one, right? You got Ball, Green, you know, a Smith Sengun core with Brooks at the three. That's fun. It's a lot of fun. So that's one route is Houston. Houston, to me, not so likely. Again, they're probably just going to want to continue to keep doing things as they're doing. They had a successful year for them, which was basically above expectations. They were flirting with a play-in for the first half of the year. And they're obviously not going to end there, but I think that's quite helpful. So that to me is one route. Okay. Another route is Utah. It looks like Danny Ainge is a big ceilings guy. He's going to go for talent where he feels he's going to get a clear core ceiling. He would make, I think, a crazy move for any of the Pistons young guys we talked about. He would make a big move for Zion, and I think Ball could be on that list, right? He's an exciting guy. Ainge is a risk-taker, interesting guy to trade with. People are, like, fearful to trade for Ainge, with Ainge. Did they get ripped off? I don't know. And I also think Ainge has learned his mistakes to an extent from Boston, which was hanging on the pick assets too long. When he held out the pick assets too long, he almost did a horrible deal for Justice Winslow that he got lucky that Miami didn't want to do it. Fine. Good for him. But, you know, you get guys like Yabusele, and you draft these guys because you're just going to stash them, knowing you don't have room on the roster. So I do like that angle with Utah, potentially. And Utah has the mix of random talent they can move. You know, Sexton doesn't really – I'm not too enamored with him. But, again, they have all those picks they got from Cleveland. They did lose Akjabi in that Toronto deal. So that could have been another young asset to get. But they have all these bigs. They got – Hendricks, Sensabaugh, you know, Kessler, you know, on this team. And then on top of that, you have, obviously, you know, Sexton and stuff. But again, it's the picks. It's the picks. Let's not lose focus. And to me, those pick routes are probably more sensible. Now, the team that I feel like I've heard a little rumors that is most interested in Ball, if he's available, is Orlando. So Orlando, look, they're on verge of making a five seed. And like a lot of times GMs and management and franchises are gonna push the envelope. Like if you got a look, now I'm gonna use the word lucky, but if you got if you are above expectations, right, you're more likely to make that I don't want to use the word extra move, but that increased move, okay, if you're above expectations. You're more likely to, you know, just like Indiana. Indiana was like, wow, we're in the play-in. We're in the playoff picture. And they're like, you know what? F it. Let's double down on this shit. We're going after Siakam. So Orlando could do that too. Not this offseason, next offseason. I mean, this coming offseason, I should say. Where if they get the 5 seed, which they're on pace to do, even if they lose in round one, they're going to get excited. They're like, we made the playoffs. We did what we needed to do. We got a chance to jolt this. We got a chance to get into the top tier. They're gonna like, you know, it's like once you get a taste of the excitement, you want more of it, right? So, and they have assets to move. I think they wasted the picks last year, quite frankly. Black, I'm not a huge, biggest fan of. And then you have, and he's going to take a while to develop. So, moving a guy like Anthony Black, a slew of their firsts, they're going to have to do one of the three future firsts with the swaps, like Jet Howard, and that package with expirings coming back to Charlotte. Does that get it done for Ball? Okay. Not as enamored with that Patrick package, but again, like, Charlotte gets back a young point guard and Anthony Black. They get some cap clear, if you will. Maybe Jet Howard something, but the move is really just to get all those extra picks. I don't know where we're at with these, like, four future first moves anymore. They've kind of, like, soured a little bit, I want to say, since, the Durant stuff and all that. Like, the Nets, apparently teams were offering, like, almost, like, 5 firsts, if you will, for Mikal Bridges. And then I said, no, maybe that gets re-explored. Who knows? So I could see Orlando doing that. If you're going to bring Ball to Orlando, that team is going to be pretty good. Those picks are all going to be in the 20s. Or I really want to have a future of, like, 4 picks in the 20s in Anthony Black. I don't know how excited I get about that. I don't know. So really, the problem with any of these deals that I just noted is there's no, like, young talent coming back. Like, in an ideal world, it would be great if a team like Charlotte, OKC was interested, which, of course, why would they be? And I was able to get Jalen Williams in such a deal. Okay, it's not happening. So the problem I think Charlotte's going to have is nobody, I know there's untouchables and all that, but, like, there's no super young asset that is, like, kind of mixed behind players that a team is going to want to bring up. Now, I'm going to just go crazy on this one. I'm throwing it out there. And it's kind of like a blind lead to the blind deal, if you will, like a bad team for bad team. I'm going to throw it out because I just thought of it, like Detroit, okay? You're not moving Cade, but would you move Ivy and your pick? Now, to me, like, the whole reason why I'm moving Ivy is because of usage. I think it's silly for Detroit. You can't move your pick. Come on. But that would be like, that would be the kind of deal I would love for Charlotte. And to me, it could make sense if and only if, and I just realized there's a team I haven't discussed that jumps in here. If and only if, you could draft well and you feel like Ivy could be a guy you build around. But I'll tell you a dark horse team I'll throw out there. And this is the team that, like, anybody who has an asset needs to hope and pray they could trade for. You already know who it is. It's the New Orleans Pelicans. The Pelicans have the most underrated stash in the league, and it's not remotely close. The Pelicans have, obviously, they have, like, McCollum as just the contract and a nice veteran. But you're talking about, first of all, Trey Murphy, Herb Jones. You have all those Laker picks, all the Bucks picks. Remember, they got that through the True Holiday trade. Jordan Hawkins, Najir Marshall. I believe E.J. Lytle is still on the roster. So they have guys they can move. And that's probably my target if I'm Charlotte. And again, I don't know that New Orleans does this, but I think I could get a deep package, okay? I think I can get 4 firsts across, they're not going to be great firsts, across the Lakers, Pels themselves, and the Bucks. So I'm going to get 4 first-round picks, okay? Now the question is, who else from New Orleans can I get? I need to get probably at least one of Murphy or Herb Jones, and then one of Dyson Daniels or Jordan Hawkins. And actually, what I would say is I need 3 out of 4 of those guys. I'm not thinking Jose Alvarado. I don't care about him. right? I don't need McCollum. I think that the cap space, they could eat it. So basically, I probably need both Murphy and Herb Jones, in which case, if I'm New Orleans, I'm like, nah, I don't know about that. But, and I think that's the controversy. You definitely need at least one of Murphy or Herb Jones, and probably both of Daniels and Jordan Hawkins. So let's say, in a worst-case scenario, that's the move. Okay? That's the deal. You trade Ball for, and if I'm if I'm New Orleans, probably I want to keep Herb Jones, right? He's a better defender. So let's say I do Murphy, Hawkins, Daniels, and four firsts. Now, look, for New Orleans, we'll then have to replenish that talent through free agency, that depth. But again, you got Larry Nance Jr. So I don't think it's like, you know, the end of the road for them to do. But the excitement, if you're New Orleans is great. Keep McCollum. I don't need McCollum. So you could now roll McCollum at the two, because Ball's tall. So you could do Ball, McCollum, Ingram, Zion, and, you know, insert free agent center, because you're not going to re-sign Valanciunas. Let's say he's even there, fine, just for argument's sake. And you got Herb Jones as sixth man. Okay, still got Jose Alvarado, keep him. You still got Najee Marshall, keep him. Like, you still have depth post that trade. And you're still going to have some of your picks. I mean, you still have ways to get it. So I think it's a no-brainer to me for New Orleans. And for Charlotte, I like it a lot. I want to see what Daniels can do. But essentially, I'd have Daniels, Hawkins, and Murphy with Brandon Miller. Sign me up. I'm going to have a rookie coming in. Let's see what he can do. You know, whether it's the Rick Asher, the French kid. You know, and I'm basically swapping franchises a little bit. If I'm Charlotte, I kind of become New Orleans a little bit. Right? Like, I get all these lengthy wings if I go the Recrasher route, which is, you know, I guess kind of fun. But yeah, I like the scenario for both. If I'm New Orleans, I'm kind of in this, like, weird bucket now. I'm going to get Zion more excited. Zion played really well with Lonzo. You get LaMelo there? That's a fun team. And you didn't have to move Ingram. You didn't have to move Zion. You didn't even have to move McCollum. Now, I think maybe that's still light. Maybe it's Murphy, Herb Jones, and Dyson Daniels going to keep Jordan Hawkins. All right, maybe that makes it more difficult. But, I definitely do that if I'm Charlotte and have supreme amount of length. I'll do Daniels, Herb Jones, Murphy, Miller. It's a gorgeous 1-4. Develop the young kid coming in the draft. Continue with Nick Richards. That's a fun team. But that's the route I go if I'm Charlotte. And again, it's hard to say. Is that the only team? The backups aren't great. The Orlando thing I mentioned isn't so great. The Utah thing I mentioned isn't so great. If they get a New Orleans move, and I think if I'm David Griffin, it's a tough trigger not to pull, right? Because you could survive times where Ball's not healthy. Now, if you're New Orleans, are you really tying your wagon to two injury-prone talents in Ball and Zion? Because the other move is like, and again, they need a full season out with Zion. If New Orleans loses in the first round and Griffin's feeling the heat, it's the kind of move. If they make a run, obviously they're just going to be like, oh, we're just keeping everything as is. But yeah, I like it. Or it could be McCollum goes somewhere else and you get additional assets that way. That's always a possibility. That's why I play if I'm Charlotte. And that's where it starts and ends. I know we just talked about a Ball deal, but that's really what it is for Charlotte. What else do you want them to do if they're going to rebuild? Right? There's nothing else to do. Okay, what kind of guys go free agency? No. It starts with the Ball deal and ends with the Ball deal. Okay? And again, that's the deal you do to get Ball. I think you do that. Super exciting. So, again, we shall see, but that's my take.